Lord, I'd rather have Jesus. That's in our spirit tonight. We'd rather have Jesus than fame or success or things. We'd rather have you, Jesus, in our lives, your presence. Oh God, thank you. Bless this meditation, this message. Lord, amen. Now turn with me to Matthew 12, verse 30. It's always amazing that we gather, we assemble. It's amazing. The thought that I want to share with you tonight is that I'd like you to learn as a believer to be a gatherer. To be a gatherer. So I wonder if I can put that down here. I think I got to open a different. Okay, here we go. So just gather. Gather. This is Matthew 12, 30. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There is a skill that you develop as a Christian of being a gatherer. And then contrarily, I can be a scatterer in my life, in my heart. Is that Sharon there? Sharon Schwavia. Sorry, I didn't answer your text message. I was thinking about it like, you know, through the day. I don't answer all my messages or phone calls and all that, emails. And so thanks for your love. Do you love anyway? Okay. If I love anyway, I'm a gatherer. I'm a gatherer, right? And the Holy Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit is a gatherer. We have gathered here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, and he is a gatherer. He gathers the outcasts of Israel together. He gathers sinners and saves them. He gathers Christians, disappointed Christians, and troubled people. All of us, he's a gatherer. He's a gatherer. Look at that verse again, Matthew 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. So we could say we have Jesus Christ, who is the gatherer. Can you give some examples? And then we have the Holy Spirit, who is a gatherer. A minister. A minister. When we are with God, God helps us, and love happens in our hearts, because God is love. And love overcomes, love gathers, love cares, love talks, speaks, love. To be gathered, to be a gatherer is a skill that you learn as a spirit-filled believer. You learn things about it. So I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Maybe just that thought is enough. That's why you came tonight. I mean, what we heard, the prayer, the beautiful music, Pastor Barry's testimony about our week. And I agree, Camp Life, Rain Garden, the cafeteria is beautiful. You should see it. It's beautiful, Scotty, and the team. And mentioning names, I mean, you know, we all always kind of leave people out, but I love the church, not simply this one, But wherever the Spirit of God is, he is a gatherer. Really. Wherever the Spirit of God is, he gathers, he helps, he draws people. Song of Solomon, draw me. Draw me. Your kisses, the kisses of your mouth are better than wine, better than life. They are. Your ministry to us, draw me. They ran after Jesus. They followed him and so on. It's a beautiful thought that God is a gatherer. Okay, so turn now to the big text, if you had time. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1. In your own Bible study, this is a tip for you, that you would study these verses and really spend a week on them if you want. But it's very profound. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, there are false teachers. There are troubled people, Timothy, in the church. People could be gathered around endless genealogies. They could be gathered around fables. They could be gathered around aliens from the outer space and the rise and fall of Hitler's mustache. They could be, Josh, good to see, Josh Harris, wow, good to see you. Forest Hill, keep Forest Hill in prayer. Okay. People can gather around a lot of things, and sports and politics and so on, but when you and I are gathered by God, we have the Spirit of God that makes us one. It's the Spirit of God. Discern spirits. 1 John 4, you are to discern spirits. You and I are called to know the Spirit of God versus the spirit of the world or other spirits. Okay? That's another text which is very good. Okay, so look at chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, who? Paul is saying, I ask you, Timothy, to stay at Ephesus. Stay there, abide in Ephesus. When I went into Macedonia. Well, so when he left Ephesus, went into Macedonia, he wanted Timothy to stay, that you would charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Why? Because Paul's concerned about them being scattered. They can be scattered. People, Christians, can be scattered. There is the wolf, the devil. He scatters. He misleads. He separates us. And that's what one of his strategies. But the doctrine is what we listen to with spiritual concentration, and we hear a voice say to us, and we receive the instruction. Now, here's the negative thing, verse 4. Do not give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Now, Jewish habit, Jewish tradition is your genealogy. All right, what tribe are you from? Your family. My family is Levite, someone could say. Or my family is from the tribe of Judah. My family is from Issachar or Naphtali or Zebulun or Ephraim. My family is from Asher and so on. And prove it. You are of the seed of David? Are you of the seed of David? I was on an airplane and talking to a Jewish, a Hasidic Jew with the ringlets and the hat and everything. And I love talking to him and asking him questions. And he opened up to me and he said, you know that my family is of the line of David. And he was very, like, wouldn't want to say proud, but he liked that. He respected that. That was like an honor. I'm of the seed of David. I'm of the tribe of Judah, of the seed of David. And I was fascinated. I go, wow, that's amazing. I said, did you know that Jesus Christ was of the seed of David? And he said, no, I didn't know that. I go, yeah, he was. So we had a little, it was a nice little talk, okay? My point is that our ethnicity, our education, our income, what part of town you live on, that could all be what constitutes your togetherness. But that's not the grounds of our togetherness. It's not our genealogy. It's not fables. It's doctrine. It's ears and heart. It's the Spirit. What's the Spirit say? Is the Spirit speaking? I like to believe I could be in any church in America and I could discern, I hope, I would discern the Spirit speaking and have my Bible and have the pastor in front of me and have him preaching and discern. And what would be the result of that? We are gathered. We are gathered in his name. We are recognizing his presence. We are built up in the Spirit. We are gathered. Jesus gathers us. And though we may be very different in many different ways, there's one thing that we all have in common. God is our Father. Christ is our Savior. Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Bible is open to us. We are hungry for truth. And that truth is right here in front of us in our Bible. Let's read the rest of it. It says, verse 4, and here's the part I would love you to memorize. I'll write it down. Neither give heed to fables, endless genealogy, which minister questions. I'll write it down here. Minister what? Questions. Well, what do you mean by that? Minister questions. Whenever you read something in the Bible, like you look at in the Bible to give you some definition, where is the first question asked in the Bible? And who said it? I believe, I mean, I looked at it, you could correct me. Satan said, has God said? It's a question. There is a world of questioning everything. So then in our punctuation, we can just use it because it's pretty cool. You have a sentence and you have a question. You also, in English, you have a sentence, a period. You also have a sentence and you have an exclamation point. Which sentences do you want to build your life on? Which sentences, how do you want to be spoken to? How do you want to be ministered to? What kind of sentence do you want to hear from God? Now, to be clear, there's more to it than that because God asks questions. But when God asks a question, you know his intention, you know what's behind it. And one of them we know is when he talked to Peter. He said, do you love me? And that was not to mislead him. That question was not to mislead him. That question was to provoke from his heart. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. That's fellowship. In other words, questions are part of our fellowship. Questions can be legitimate questions like God could ask a Job 81 questions in the book of Job. Where were you when I created the universe? That's a question. And it can minister to you. But there's another kind of question which kind of like it leaves you hanging. There's a question that can be from the devil. And you just have to have the discernment to recognize But I want to just say, just simply, there's a lot more to it than what I'm saying, but I'm provoking you to think about it, because these sentences with the question mark is part of life, but so are the statements which are just indicative and then also imperative sentences. You know, so here Paul says to Timothy, they minister questions to people and confuse them. They leave people hanging, questioning everything. You can go to a university and just be taught to question everything, and all the professor is doing is asking questions. Did God make the universe? How do we know that? Who could ever prove that? There's no evidence to that. Who are you? We don't know who you really are. Like, how are you designed? We have many questions. So when you're done with the lecture, when you leave the university classroom, you don't know much other than that you've been asked a lot of questions that leave you without an exclamation point, without doctrine. Doctrine is what gathers us to Him. And we start to hear what He's saying to us. And it edifies. Read the next part. We're going to finish up here in a minute. It says, rather than godly edifying. Here it is. We have two in juxtaposition to each other. We have minister questions. And then you have rather than, here's the opposite, godly edifying. Let's make this simple and finish here. Godly edifying. What is that? Godly edifying. Somebody believes in me. Somebody said to me on the phone today, their pastor believed in them more than they believed in themselves. Their pastor believed in them more than they believed in themselves. That's godly edifying. What? You believe in me? You trust me? What? Like, I can do it? What, you love me? Do you actually love me? I mean, I'm starting to feel or think that actually this church, you people, actually care about me. Do you actually care about me? This is nothing other than the Holy Spirit, who does not always, like, ask questions to leave you hanging. But it's like Jesus comes to Peter and he says, feed my sheep. That's godly edifying. Or you can do it. God is with you. You are able. Yeah, you are okay. You are okay. Yeah, we all fail. We messed up. Well, what do I do? I have failed. I feel miserable. I am unable. I feel detached. I feel empty. I feel like going away. That's like scattering. I want to go away. I want to disappear. I want to just melt into the wall and go out the back door and just drive away and be gone forever. The psalmist said, if I could take the wings of the morning and fly away, I would. That's scattering. But the Lord, you know, he's typified when the Spirit is brooding over the waters in Genesis 1, it's the word for a chicken taking care of its chicks. I've been told that the chicken, the mother hen, is taking care of her group and caring, and the Holy Spirit is like that for us. He is caring for us. We need it. We need to be gathered. We need to be godly edified. And it's a skill. I believe the Holy Spirit teaches you how to talk to somebody so that when they are done talking to you, you feel you feel like, yes, it's clear, it's beautiful. I mean, I know it isn't like that's maybe in the perfect world, but I am trying to say something. It happens to you. It does. It happens to you. That God uses somebody in your life to talk to you in such a way that you say, I want to hear them again. I want to hear them again. I want to be with that person. I want to, what did they say? And you go to bed with thinking of that one sentence in your heart that helps you. And you say, I want to be there. Or I want to be with him. Or I want to be with her. Or I want to, I feel edified. I feel edified. But have you ever been in a meeting where you do not feel edified? Have you ever been in a place, maybe in a home, and the family doesn't godly edify? The family is not like that. They may be scattering. The devil is the scatterer, and he can have words in my mouth that I would use, and the end game is they scatter. They don't gather. They scatter my sons, my daughters, my grandchildren, scatter my neighbors, scatter my wife, scatter my family, scatter my church, scatter my Bible study group. They scatter. Because of my feelings, my anger, my confusion, my judging, my evaluation of things, my resentment in my heart, my jealousy, my various things that happen to us as people. But I just want you to remember this and just throw it out there for you. I believe the Spirit wants to say this to us, and that is that you can learn as a brother, as a sister, you can learn to be like, more like honey. More like honey catching flies, is it? You know, than vinegar. Like more like something sweet or truthful or more in a loving way, direct, but very loving and very kind. And speak the truth in love. Be a gatherer. I think every teenager needs to be in the presence of the Spirit that gathers, and they'll start to believe in themselves in a good way, maybe, or be hungry for God. I think every family needs a church where we need to hear something to help me through the week. Help me, Lord, I want to be a gatherer. And I want to be careful with how I say what I say, how I say it. I want to learn that, and I want to be a gatherer. Come alongside somebody who doesn't have a friend and be their friend because of love and gather. You don't have to do Monday morning quarterbacking, analyze everything, and be so analytical and study everything. It says here, look at verse 4, it says, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Let's write that down here. Godly edifying. Guess what? You have to do it in faith. Can you say to your wife, men, can you say to your wife, in faith things? In faith, can you say, can you have an attitude about your marriage or yourself? You know, can you? I'm just saying it to provoke, encourage us. Do you always have to tear down your kids? Tear them down and tell them the truth because they need to know the truth? Or can you godly edify in faith? How about this sentence? How about this sentence? Just pray about it. You don't just say it, but just say, do you know what? I believe. You say to your 12-year-old son, you say it to him. You don't have to say it every day. You don't say it many times. You just say it every once a year. Just say to your son, I believe God has something for you. I believe God has something for you. What's that? Faith. Godly edifying, which is in faith. What do we say in our church? Our church, we are saying, God is with us. What do we say at Camp Life? What the Spirit wants to say. And then when the kids come home, they have been godly edified. And it's not simply with Camp Life, it's with the Sunday school and the various things that we do. Or how many times have we gone out by faith to like share the message in some neighborhood by faith, and we come away edified, and we just say, that was edifying. I don't know what happened. I didn't see much happen, but I'm happy we did it. That was edifying. And you jump in the car, and you're edified with your brother or your sister, because godly edifying happens when we live by faith. When things are bad, how about in faith you say, things will get better? How do you know that? I don't know. I'm living in faith. I'm in faith. I go beyond reason and we live in faith. Isn't that good? Yeah, how about our country and many of the things that are happening? Very troubled times, very troubled times. I'm not denying that. But that may not be very edifying. And also, by the way, it can scatter and leave us hanging with questions, you know. Or we can say, the Lord has us on this earth for a period of time. He knows the time. I'm going to be alive until that time. And after that time, I'll be more alive than ever. And he'll take us. And there's a certain time. Before that time, I want to live in godly edifying and in the faith. Can you talk like that and live like that? And when you do, you are a gatherer. You are helping people in their faith, and we are gathering them in the faith. Yeah. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Amen. Lord, you are the one that made the seeing eye and the hearing ear. You made our bodies and our spirit and our hearts. And you put us here. It's not an accident. And you edify us. You are a gatherer. And you gather the body to see your Son. One of the fruits of the Spirit is to magnify. The work of the Spirit is to show the Son of God. And we bow down before the Son of God, who came and died for us, was raised from the dead so we wouldn't be an orphan or lost or wandering, but we'd be gathered to you. We'd be under your umbrella. We would be gathered under your wings. We would be gathered in your doctrine, gathered in truth that's beyond us, but it's in us. Lord, thank you for that. It's called the araban in the Greek language, the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance, the evidence of what we are heading into in a full manifestation one day in heaven with God and his presence forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. May we discern the difference between ministering questions to people versus godly edifying to people. May we discern it and be part of the gathering in Jesus' name. And then, anyone not yet a believer, you're thinking about it, would you make a decision? Would you, by faith, you'll have questions, but right tonight is a decision of faith. And God can help you with your questions, but put your trust in him. He will save you tonight by his grace. And say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.